It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, the 8th chapter, Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to begin reading here with the 16th verse, Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. Wonderful study, and so pleased that you'll join us today, Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks of Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us here at the church, 217-847-2717. That's 217-847-2717. And if you'd like to check out our website, it's parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. We have many studies there. Hope that you can enjoy them and grow from them. Come to know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior through them. And if you would like to email us, you can email us at parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one of those will work just fine. And we would love to hear from you. And so please that you would open your Bibles now to Matthew chapter 8, beginning to read. And we'll actually start up at verse 14, and then that'll kind of build us up into that same section where we're studying today. Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. And when even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and cast out spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. And that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. We're going to stop with that 22nd verse. We may get a little further today, but we'll stop reading right now and begin with prayer. Father, I thank and praise you that we can have this opportunity to come. We lift these words up to you. Help to guide and lead us each and every day that we may serve you and praise you and honor you. And Father, please, the first step, the very first step of praise and of honor and to bring honor and glory to you is that we come by faith humbly to your Son. We trust in your Son, the Lord Jesus, to be our Savior. He died on the cross. He took all of our sins. He bore them. He carried them. And he took them. And being perfect, he was the only one that could be a sacrifice to take our sin away. And he did. He took the pain and the suffering of the physical side, but also the side of that load of sin that he'd never experienced before. And he died on the cross to take those sins away, shed his precious, precious blood, perfect blood, to save us. And then, Father, wonderful, he rose again 3 days later, and he's at your right hand right now. Our high priest now, making intercession for us that believe and know you as our Lord and Savior. So please, just guide and lead us now through these precious words. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a joy to study the Scripture. And we find a couple of things here just in review. This woman, the wife's mother, lay. Peter's, we talked about that last time we were together. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid sick of a fever. And just by the touch of the Savior's hand, she was made whole. And she didn't go out leaping and praising the Lord. She began immediately to minister unto them. We have something we need to learn from Peter's mother-in-law, and that is that we should always, whenever the Lord chooses to heal us, whether through doctors or through his miraculous touching of our lives, but we've been made whole when we were saved, when we come by faith to the Lord Jesus. So we need now to be at work. We need to be busy and minister unto them. What a wonderful picture and what a wonderful servant we see there very quickly. And then when even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. See, he created the world with his word. He spoke it into existence. You know, we can speak and talk all we want to, but nothing happens. We need to do some physical work with our hands to see some progress most of the time, but not our Lord and Savior. Not our God, not God the Father, because this was spoken into existence by his Son, Jesus, and the worlds were made. And here, why we find that not only he touched her hand and she was healed, Peter's mother-in-law, but also here we have the casting out of demons. And don't think for a second that that doesn't come today. And today it is so sad that people celebrate Halloween in a greater way than they do any other time of the year. They kind of jump right over Thanksgiving, a time to give praise and thanks to our Lord. Christmas, as we come for the birth of our Lord Jesus. Resurrection Sunday, Easter, we come together. Those are all kind of just walked right by. But Halloween, all the evil that's out there, the skeletons, and just it's just evil. Do you understand that? He said, oh, it's just for fun. No, it's not for fun. That's the devil's holiday. And here the Lord Jesus cast out these demons. And there are a multitude of demons out there today. You wonder why some men and women can do the evil things they do. They're possessed with demons. Don't think for a second that this is just something of the Old Testament or this is something of old. Because demons are there today, and they are active today, coming to destroy anything that is good. He cast these demons out by his word, and he healed all that were sick. He didn't say how he did it, whether he spoke to them, whether he touched them. What happened? We don't know. But we know they were all healed. And it doesn't say part of them were healed, but all was healed. And then we come to this beautiful quote here, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Where do you think they went? He took them. He took them. And really to understand all of that, we need to read several chapters in Isaiah. From just actually one from chapter 52 through the chapter 53. But we're just going to read one verse of scripture here. And Isaiah 53, and we're going to read the fourth verse. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But if you really want to enjoy it, you back up to chapter 52. to the 13th verse. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high, starts the 13th verse, and you read all the way through the 12th verse of 53. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. That's the end. And so read from Isaiah 52:13 through Isaiah 53:12, which is actually the end of that chapter, to see it. You know, we find here back in Matthew now in the 8th chapter that he healed all that were sick. All that were sick. Now, when we say all there, then you wonder, is my faith not strong enough? Why did I have to go to the doctor? Why didn't the Lord Jesus heal me? I'm a believer. Why didn't he heal me? Well, we have some examples, and one of them is the best is, of course, Paul. We don't know whether it was Paul's eyesight. We don't know what it was, but he had a thorn in the flesh, we call it. He called it, and he asked three times for the Lord to remove that. Now, you would have thought Paul's faith would have been strong enough. You know, these faith healers today, and they're fake faith healers. Let me help you with that, because the Lord Jesus does the healing. God today does not give some man the power to do that. So if you hear of a healing service that's coming, there's nothing wrong with coming together and praying for one that's sick. But when one man claims to have that kind of power, stay away from him. Paul was a faithful servant of the Lord. He had a thorn in the flesh, whatever it might have been. He asked God three times, beg God, please take this away from me so I can serve you in a greater way. But the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. So there's sometimes, whatever that ailment may have been, and whatever sickness or problem that we may have, understand that God is sufficient. He's sufficient to take it away from us. He's sufficient to give us the strength to go through it and carry it with us for all of our days. So please understand that. What a wonderful learning that we have there. But go to Isaiah and enjoy that as well. I think that you will. Verse 18 now. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. This region on the east of the Sea of Galilee, there's a lot that goes on in these areas and these regions. But when the multitudes would gather in, many times he would remove himself. Jesus wanted them to come to him for their sin, not because they desired to come because of maybe what they witnessed. Jesus never sought the praise of men. He has come to seek and to save those that are lost. We should not desire the praise of men. Many times, things that we do, we want someone to acknowledge it, someone to recognize it, someone to thank us, someone to pat us on the back, someone to praise us. We need just to be where the Lord wants us to be. Forget the praise of man. Somewhere here in this area of departing, we find a couple of disciples of the Lord. One is a scribe, as it says here, and the other, it tells us over in the verse 21, another of his disciples said unto him. So we've got a scribe, and in Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62, it would seem that it records the same message, the same words as Matthew here, but Luke just calls him a certain man. And so one here is a scribe, which should know the Word of God. Another is a disciple. The question come, he said, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Let's look at that, verse 19. A certain scribe came, said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Again, we made reference to what Luke tells us in the ninth chapter of what the Lord has had him to record. It appears that in neither case, as he called Matthew and the disciples that followed him, it doesn't seem that this man in either case was called. They said, we will follow you. So we need to recognize, and it's so important that we know what is in the heart of man. Many folks come to church. The offer is to all, verse 28 of the 11th chapter of Matthew, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What a wonderful opportunity is opened up to all. So the call does go out to each one of us to come. That call came to both of these men, but in the case with Jesus here walking with them, as he called out his disciples, as we've watched them, come and follow me, and they dropped their nets and followed him. We don't have that here, that those words, follow me, does not come, even though in Matthew 11:28, Jesus tells everyone to come. Remember something here that our Lord Jesus, something he has, something he can do that we can't. He knows the heart. He knows the heart. He can look right down into that heart and know what the intent is. Are they a believer? Are they a follower? Do you know what the word disciple actually means? It means a learner. It means a pupil, a student. You know, we think of the word disciple meaning a servant, one that comes and serves and praises. But when he called his disciples, he called them to come to learn of him. And so we should do the same. We should be good students. We should be a good pupil. We should come to school and learn. It's so sad today that so few want to learn. They want to come. Something inside them, which the Lord's put that in there, they're supposed to come to church. But when it comes to the second part, the part of learning and being a pupil, we desperately fail. We have now for over 30 years searched the Word of God, verse by verse. Many believe that you need to pick a subject. You know, we're going to pick the Holy Spirit. We're going to pick this subject or this subject. And I'm going to preach on that this Sunday and this Sunday night and then this Wednesday night. And I don't like that. I know that's what the school teaches you to do. But I would much rather, and I believe that it's the Lord's will, to go verse by verse by verse. That's how we learn. That's how we become pupils or learners of the Word of God. Not by me expounding on some subject, but by us looking together at the Word of God, going verse by verse by verse. I preach that way, and I teach that way. And if you've ever listened to these programs, you'll know that that's exactly what you'll find. But I think it's so important that we do look at what the word disciple means. It means learner. It means pupil. It means student. So he's called them. These men have been following him. They have been a learner. But again, our Lord Jesus knows their heart, both cases. So, why are you following me? Are you following me? Are you learning of me because you want to figure out how I'm casting out demons? Do you want to learn of me so that you can touch someone and they'll be physically healed? Is that why you're following me? We would sure wonder. We would sure wonder. And it would seem that that is exactly what they wanted. It would seem very clearly that they are not saved, they are not born again. And remember, the Word of God tells us that when you are lost, when you have not come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have no love in you. You have no desire in you. Everything has a reason and a purpose, and it's set up on self or power and money. Those three things will sum up every lost person's life. He said, oh, I know so many wonderful, wonderful people. They will just do anything for you. I know. I know the same people. And I know many a person that's not born again that's a nicer person than born again people. Now, there's no excuse for that. But I know them too. I know them too. But the sad thing is that these good works that these good people do all turn out at some point in their life to be selfish reasons. In some level or another, they're a selfish reason. And only if you're born again can you have a heart that is set up on love and caring, that is not something that is of self. Many people that are believers still have that self-wander in them. And that's sad because they're not getting any of the joy and the benefits that our Lord has to offer when you continue to hold on to that. We find here that Jesus is going to show this scribe, as Matthew calls him, going to give him a little description of something. He's kind of saying to him, what do you want? Because he knows what he wants. He wants the power to cast out demons. He wants the power to heal. He wants his power. That's what he wants. Because I can see of great advantage to have that. Not to help, but to have that power, to have such a pride in our lives that we can do that. So it begins here. He started to show this man what Jesus possessed as far as worldly things. And he begins. He said, foxes have holes, and birds have of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. The Son of Man not to have a place to where his head. You know, foxes and birds, they have places of shelter. But the Son of Man doesn't own a home. Now, you see many of these, you know, television preachers, many of the folks, they have monstrous homes, beautiful homes, multiple homes many times. Our Lord Jesus had no home. He owned nothing. He came to seek and to save those who are lost, and that should be our message as preachers. Not see what I've gained. The Son of Man had no home. He had no pillow to rest his head. Yes, he stayed in many folks' homes because they welcomed him in. But he had no possession as a home. And here when it speaks of the Son of Man, it means without question the Lord Jesus, of course. You know, this title is used more times pointing to Jesus as our Savior than anyone. It is the most, and more than 70 times in the four Gospels is those terms used. And he knew that these Jews would understand the phrase, because that phrase means the Messiah. He knew that. Son of Man brings us to a particular connection between Jesus and man. The Son of God brings that same connection, but between the Lord Jesus Christ, and his Father God. And so between the two, so if you see Son of Man, the connection's between Jesus and us. The Son of God is between him and his Father. What a beautiful picture. He had great love for man. He had compassion. He had love. His willingness to take the place, man's place, and pay the debt of sin in order that all that could be saved, all we have to do is believe in him. That's what the call went out. The call went out, and he said, do you understand what it means to be my disciple, to be a learner, to be a student of mine? It doesn't mean that you're going to be coming to my house and living a luxurious lifestyle. It means we're here to show folks that I am the Messiah, and you need to learn of that. You need to believe in me, and then you need to follow me and be a servant. Give, serve, work to bring folks to me and to bring love and strength to those that do believe. That's our purpose. My purpose as a pastor is to teach the students, to teach my disciples, those that have come by faith of the Lord Jesus, to come and to hear the Word of God and to study the Word of God and to grow to where they go out and take the Word forward. We're not told here what happened to this first disciple. This first scribe, he wanted to come. He wanted to be his disciple. Another of his disciples, another one of his learners, one of his students came to him. And I don't know whether he was standing next to the first when he heard that statement, because it seems like he was. And we're not exactly for sure where they're at right now as far as the geography of it, but someplace in between the time he left this crowd and he gets to a ship, as it says in verse 23, somewhere along the line here, and another one comes. And he said, well, I'd like to follow you right now too. However, I have to go and bury my father. Well, that seems like a good excuse. But once again, remember, Jesus knows the heart. And he knew that it was just an excuse. Oh my, do we hear excuses today for why people don't want to come into the house of God and sit and learn the Word of God. I've got so many excuses, but what did Jesus say here? Jesus said to him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. We'll start there next time. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?